this. Somebody commented the other night that Stephanie obviously didn't get her talent from me. And somebody else commented, well, somebody sure got all his talent. So we had a good time, and I appreciate the people that do this ministry in the church. And it adds so much to it. And turning your Bibles with me today to Matthew chapter 1. And we're talking this throughout this season of Christmas about the promise of Christmas. Christmas is one of those things that we know is coming every year, and we look forward to it. Many of us really look forward to it, but then we start thinking about all the things we got to do for Christmas, and we kind of start dreading it when it's getting closer to us, and then it's that one day or maybe 2 days, and then it's gone and over with, and we got to wait for it the next year. But the promise of Christmas, of what Christmas really is one that doesn't leave. It stays with us. In Christ, Christmas, that relationship with Christ that we have with Him, stays with us for life and for eternity. And so there's a promise there, not just, as we talked about last week, for the future, but a promise for life right now, a promise for today, a promise to live in. And these songs have been about peace. We lit the candle that represents peace in the Advent. Can you think of anything more disturbing than being betrayed by somebody that you loved? Somebody that you love just does something that, or is perceived to do something that is so against you. It breaks your heart. And it tears up the love that you have, the trust you have for people. And that's kind of where Joseph was at this time. Listen to this scripture as we read through it. And don't just think of the beautiful manger and the silent night and all of that, but think of where Joseph is in this. Beginning in verse 18, it says, "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way." I thought about that this morning, and it doesn't say it happened something like this. This is how it happened. This is what happened. We've got God's Word to show that to us. But after his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Then Joseph woke up. He did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Now, let's go to God in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you show us how these things happened. We don't have to guess and wonder, but we see here from your word what took place. And Father, we see as we look at this today the way that you step into our lives where we are. You give us hope and you give us peace. And you give us the ability through that peace to step forward and act in faith. Show us what we need to do today, what we need to hear from your word. Speak to each heart, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, when you look at this scripture, there's a few things there about the promises of God, and one of those promises is that this promise is for the here and now. It's for right here and right now. There's a promise made in here that we know from Isaiah, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, God with us." That was about 600 years prior to this. That was, we'll talk about in a minute, a promise to a king named Ahaz that wouldn't trust God, even though God sent Isaiah to him. But here in this that right here and right now moment in Joseph and Mary's life. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a moment. Mary comes to him and tells him while they're engaged that she is pregnant. And she's got the best excuse anybody's ever thought of. The Holy Spirit did it. God did this. Would you believe that? I mean, think about that for a moment. Would you, your daughter comes to you, or if you're the Joseph's parents and this girl that you're engaged to has that excuse, you're ready to ride her out of town on the rails. You're ready to get rid of her. But Joseph thought about this. The word there, see, it's verse 20. After he had considered these things, sometimes the words that are translated into English don't quite put the emphasis that the Greek or the Hebrew does in it. And Joseph sweated over this. Joseph struggled over this. He had to be angry, but he also loved Mary. He wanted to do what was right for her. He probably figured that that maybe she had been raped by one of the Roman soldiers, which was something that happened quite often in that day. That something had happened, but he knew, I can't marry her. And he makes the decision, I'm going to divorce her secretly or privately. Which meant that he was going to let Mary just, betrothal would be annulled, and he would just let Mary go off to another town and have the child and raise the baby. And there wouldn't be any public trial. He was a good man. He was a man that wanted to do the right thing. But as you look at this, in this struggle, in this worry, in this stress, this is where God steps in. When Joseph was just considering these things, he's not sleeping. He's letting these things roll through his mind. You ever had something that you just couldn't get off your mind? You couldn't go to sleep? And it's been lately for some reason, but I'll lay down in bed, tired as I can be. Something will come up in my mind for the church, and all of a sudden, maybe something that we need to do. Somebody I need to pray for, something I'm thinking about, and or in the family, or whatever it is, and all of a sudden it starts rolling through my mind, and I can't go to sleep. If I lay down in the bed and I'm still awake 5 minutes later, something's wrong. But every now and then, these things will get in your mind, and this is where Joseph was. But there in verse 20, we get a wonderful thing that God says here. After he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid to do this. God stepped in right there and said, Joseph, I know you're trying to do the right thing, but you're going in the wrong direction. We have great intentions, but we end up going in the wrong direction. We end up doing the wrong things. Going a way that God didn't want us to go because it seems right to everybody else. Joseph probably had friends saying, dump her, get rid of her. Put her on trial publicly. Man, she needs to be disgraced for this. And Joseph saying, something's not right. And we're just going to do this quietly. And God steps in and says, this is the way to go. Isn't it great when God does that? Look at how he did this. He communicated to Joseph. Now, it was in a vision, a dream, that the angel comes to him and tells him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. You know, a lot of people today will say something like, well, if God spoke to me in a dream or an angel came and stood in front of me, I wish that would happen, and I would know what to do then. I would know how to handle this. But I'm going to let you in on a secret. God has done something even better. He wrote it all down for you. If we're not going to follow this, we're not going to follow what an angel said. That's part of the problem with Ahaz that we'll talk about in Isaiah. He knew what God would do and what God would say, and God sends Isaiah to him to tell him, this is what you need to do. And he says, I can't do that. God communicates to us. He'll speak to you through His Word. He'll speak to you through that still small voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you. He'll speak to you through a friend or family member. Sometimes through a billboard or sometimes riding down the road. You'll just know what you need to do. God will speak and deal with you. But God encouraged Joseph. Do not be afraid. Fear directs a lot of our decisions, whether it should or not. You know, sometimes fear is a very healthy thing. Don't stand too close to the edge of a building or to the edge of a cliff. Don't stand there. Don't go play in the road. Don't do those things that you know are going to get you hurt. Have you ever... we went to the beach one time, not that many years ago, and they had one of the slingshots there at the beach that you get into, and they pull you back, and you're strapped in, and they let you go, and you go slinging way out over the ocean and then come back and sling way out again. And Stephanie said, "We're going to ride that." I said, "No, we're not. I'm not. I'll ride any roller coaster in the world, but I'm not riding that. I can just see that thing let go. You know, every now and then those things break." And so, fear is not a bad thing, but fear to obey God is. But God encouraged Joseph. The same way He did Joshua, the same way He did Moses, the same way He's done all the way through the Word of God. Do not be afraid. When I've given you a direction, when I've given you a command, don't be afraid to go that way. And then He makes a promise of what will take place. He said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is what I've done, what I'm doing right now. Joseph, I'm working in you right now. But then he says, in verse 21, she will give birth to a son. And you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. What will happen? God does what He is doing many times in the future. He's getting you ready for it right now. He's working in you to bring about His will. He's worked in the past to do that. And that's part of what we're going to see today. That second slide is that God's promises are rooted in the past. The promise of God with you, of Emmanuel, is right now. God is with you. God is never leaving you. But God has been working in the past, and we can see what He's done. With Ahaz, the Aramites, I believe, that had joined up with the northern kingdom of Israel and attacked Judah, the southern kingdom of God. And they were going to depose Ahaz as the king. They were going to place their king on the throne in Jerusalem, and something God had said would never happen. As long as there were kings in Judah, there would be one of David's descendants sitting on the throne. But He sends Isaiah, and He says, "Take your son and go and tell him this will not happen. It will not take place." Not, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. How many of you last night really thought Georgia was going to win that game before the game started? A few of you. I was worried about it. I was hoping. But because you don't typically beat a team twice in a year like that. Not at this level. I think Georgia's going to win. That wasn't what God was saying, was it? God doesn't care about a ball game. Now, I'm going to tell you that. We don't pray for Georgia to win or anything else. Don't get into that. But to Ahaz, this will not happen. It will not take place. And He makes promises to him. Trust me. And Isaiah looks at him and says, ask God for a sign. And he said, oh, no, I'm not going to test God. And I think Isaiah wanted to pop him in the back of the head or something, because he said, God is telling you, ask for the sign. I'm going to give it to you anyway. And here's the sign. A virgin is going to conceive and bear a child. And she'll give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. What did that have to do with Ahaz? God's saying, here's what I'm going to do. And it's going to come through your line. I'm at work in this. God has been working on this since Genesis 3. When man sinned, God was at work on this. And to be honest, God has known this for eternity. There's not a thing he doesn't know. And he had the perfect plan. And he is carrying out that perfect plan. This is about what God has been doing throughout history, throughout time, all of it, and what he's doing in the future. So look at that the last thing here, that last slide. God's promises concern his future. God's promises concern what he is, not only what he has done, what he is doing, but what he is going to do. And that's what Joseph was promised. This has been done. I've done this. Now this is what will take place. Mary, take her as your wife. What's been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son. And you are to name him Jesus. Because he was, which is Savior. Because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. The virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God became flesh that night. God came and not became flesh as a great warrior that could come and lead Israel. He didn't come down and become flesh and go to the king and say, get out of the way. Go to Herod and say, get out of my seat. You're sitting in my throne. He became a child. And he lived his life from that infancy all the way up to the time that he died, so that he would know all the things that we go through. We couldn't look at God, and we can't look at God today and say, God, you don't understand. God, you don't know what I'm dealing with. God, you've never had to go through this. God, yeah, and every time he can say, yes, I did. I went through this. I went through that. I experienced this. I experienced that. But he's doing not just what he did there. What Christ did in the birth is the beginning. What he did there is the down payment. What's coming that we're talking about in the book of Revelation is the fulfillment. It's the paid in full. It's everything fixed and everything right. But right now, by faith, we have this relationship with Jesus. You say, I wish I knew what God's plan for me was. I hear people say that all the time. What's God's plan for me? How do I know what God's plan for me is? Well, let me tell you, it begins with salvation. It begins with a new birth. The people that were around Jesus, that the Pharisees like Nicodemus that knew everything, that had all the answers to everything, that was the man that was the teacher of Israel. Jesus looked at him and said, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he had no idea what Jesus was talking about. But unless you go through a new birth, a dying to yourself and a turning to Jesus, being born again as that child of God, you don't have a relationship with God. His plan for you is first and foremost that you know him, that you be born. Can you imagine making plans for children in your life and what they're going to be. You know, kids are small, they're little, we got all these plans for them, all these things we want for them. Well, we want them to be happy and healthy. That's all normal, but we start developing plans for them, and I hope that they'll do this. I hope they can go that direction. I want them to know Christ. I want all these things to happen, but us coming to God and saying, hey, God, what is your plan for me? And we've never been born again. It's like a parent with no child, but they're making all the plans for this child that they haven't had yet. God loves us, and he gives us that new birth. And when he does that, the plans are there for us. He knows exactly what he wants from you. And when you follow him, he will lead you to that place and to that time. The churches that I've pastored, some have been very good churches, some have been kind of hard to navigate. And all of it brought me here. And I can use what I learned in all of those to pastor here. God has been working in me through my life to get me to this point. He's been working in you and your life to get you to this point. But it consists now, it begins with the new birth, but it consists of obedience as you walk in faith. So I don't understand God's plan for me. And what we want to know a lot of times is, where am I going to be 20 years from now? And God says, worry about where your next foot is going, where that next step is going to be. Don't worry so much about all that. You worry about being obedient to me right here, and I'm going to guide you there. Look, children, again, and we're children of God. Some of us may be old enough to be grandparents in God's kingdom, but spiritually we're still babies sometimes. Some of us are young in the faith but have grown. And in all of this, when God is saying, take this next step, take this step, do this, he's showing us who he is. He's growing us. He's building us. But if we look at God and say, you know, I know that's your opinion, but I don't agree with it. I'm going to go this way. We get in a lot of trouble, don't we? We get in a lot of trouble. The obedience is such a simple thing. But it's what we struggle with the most. But here's the great news. This culminates in eternal life. It doesn't end in eternal life. I've noticed something in the last couple of years that we always, when we go to a funeral of a person that we know loved God and walked with God, we speak in the past tense about their relationship with Jesus. This is a person that knew Christ, that loved God. They didn't love God in the past or just love him in the past. They're loving him now. They're there with him now. It's not a past tense thing. It's all moving to the future. All that God did in that life, the obedience that was there, the discipline that came from disobedience and the struggles and all these things happened, and God is using all of that to bring us to a point where we're going to spend eternity with him. And I can't wait to get to the end of Revelation. Most of the book is hard to go through, hard to preach about and teach about, because it's destruction, it's judgment, and it's people that are know what God is doing, what he's calling them to do, and they just turn away from him and still won't come to him. And we experience that today with people that we share the gospel with. They know the truth and they still won't believe in it. But one day all that's going to be over with. One day God is coming and this world will be destroyed, this sinful world. Everything that is full of sin will have been destroyed. The world that's full of sin, our bodies that are full of sin, our bodies are either going to be destroyed in a grave, or when we are raptured up to be with Christ, they're going to be translated and changed. This body's not going to heaven, but a new one is. And sin will be back here with that old body. And this earth is going to be destroyed and made new. And I think it will be just like it is now. But imagine it being a million times better. If you go to see some of the big sites in the world, I haven't gotten to see things like the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone Park or anything like that, but I did get to drive into Jackson Hole one time in April, I believe, and it was snow all over, everywhere at the time, still too much snow to get into the park from that entrance. But it was pictures of that versus being there, two totally different things. When you're there and you're seeing it and you're experiencing it, think about that. This earth has got some kind of a veil over it right now, this cloud of sin, and all that's going to be gone. And we get to spend eternity with Him in that. Eternity the way God designed us to be. Folks, God's plans don't change. All the way through the Scriptures, what we see in Christ, this promise of the coming of Christ all the way through the Old Testament, the promise of His return that we have today. He kept the first promise. He's kept every promise so far. He's going to keep that one. But here today for you and me, the promises in the Scripture for right now. What are you struggling with? What are you dealing with? What is it that you need to give over to Christ, to allow Him to work and guide you in that? Whatever that is, I encourage you today to come and give that to Him. If you can come sit on the front row or kneel at the altar, do that today. If you can do that from where you are, do that. But folks, give that over to Him. Follow Him. Follow His whatever He's leading you to do. Because He's here with you. And with Him being here, all of His strength, all of everything you need is right there with you. Maybe, that you need to know Christ. You want to know God's will for you, but you realize today that you don't have a relationship with it. You're not going to know His will, all the other stuff that He's got for you, until you know Him. And you can trust Him today. You can ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And commit to Him that you're going to begin walking with Him from this point forward. That's the new birth. Christ comes in and does something in you. He makes you new. And your life will never be the same afterwards. Whatever it is God's dealing with you about today, whatever decision you need to make, whatever you've been praying about, ask Him to give you the clarity. Ask Him to do whatever it is you're needing today. And trust what He tells you to do. Imagine Joseph and somebody else coming to him and saying, I believe Mary's telling the truth. You ought to trust her. You're crazy. I'm not about to do that. But God says, trust her. And Joseph was a godly man, and he trusted her, and he trusted God. And folks, it all worked out from there. You can have that today. If you want to know Him, please come to know Him today. If you trust Him in whatever it is, if you already know Him. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand. We'll have prayer. And as we pray, the altar is open for any decision you need to make. I would love to pray with you, talk with you on anything. Please come today as God is dealing with you about anything. And let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your truth. thank you that we can have peace with you because of what you are doing now, because of what you've done in the past and what you have for us in the future. Your promises are true and real. Father, you are that promise. We just thank you for it. Have your way in this time, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.